Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks so much for joining us here on this final Sunday of January, January 25th. Boy, it is cold here in Nebraska. We've had some really chilly days. I know there's a whole bunch of people who've gotten sick over the last couple weeks. We can pray for. I'm actually not sick. I have just lost my voice this week. I've been talking too much is what I think it is. But I am feeling good, but I hope you are too. Or if you're sitting at home there today and it's too cold, or it is something that you've been sick to, we're praying for you. I hope you're get better soon. A couple announcements as we begin today. The first one is next Sunday, February 1st, we're going to have our annual meeting. And we're going to be voting in 15 new members and new leaders for some of the boards, and sharing about the good things that God has done over the past year and some of our hopes for the next year. An update on the Cove expansion, which is only just over a month away from being completed. We're excited about that. And so that's coming next Sunday after the second service, and we're going to have a potluck with it. So please bring a dish to share. And we'll put them all together. We'll have a nice little lunch. And the annual meeting is only going to last like an hour, and it'll be during lunch, so it's not too overwhelming. So please come if you can. And then the second announcement is we're going ice skating in Lincoln. It is Sunday, February 15th. And it's from 2 o'clock to 4:30 at Breslow Ice Rink. But we need you to RSVP to tell us if you're coming or not, because we have to tell the ice rink that beforehand. So it's free. The church is going to cover the tab on it. It'll be fun for the whole family. Come there, even if you don't want to skate, if you just want to even just be around people and visit. And as the kids skate, come on and do that. So just let us know, RSVP to the church email or call the church office and talk to me or whatever. Let me know, or Jessica, if you're interested in that, and we'll get you signed up and look forward to doing that. Carrie and I, we signed up, but we haven't skated in a while there, so we're going to see how we do for that, but it'll be fun, I think. All right, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me over to Exodus chapter 20. We're in the middle of a sermon series here on the Ten Commandments, and we're going to look at the third one today, the third commandment. We're taking each week and looking at one of those commandments and what they teach us about God and how in Christ we're to live into this. And then, so Exodus 20, 1 to 7, I'll read, and then I'm also going to read Psalm 96. So if you have that ready too, I'm going to look at both of those scriptures today. And so this is what it says in Exodus 20, 1 to 7. It says, "And God spoke all of these words, 'I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or the waters below. You shall not bow to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments.'" And then verse 7 is the third commandment and says this, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. For the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." That's the third commandment. And so flip over also, I want to read Psalm 96 for us, because it's going to tie in here. Psalm 96 says this, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all of the earth. Sing to the Lord and praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare the glory among the nations and his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of our praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord has made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. So ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all of the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It can't be moved. He will judge the people with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all of creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He'll judge the world in righteousness and the people in his faithfulness. This morning, we continue on there in our sermon series on the Ten Commandments and what they teach us about God and how we are called to live in this world. And as Christians, we want to live a life that is obedient to God and pleasing to the Lord. And Jesus spoke about these commands too. He referred to them often. And so as we study them, you see, we want to talk about each one and what it means for us today to follow Christ. The first commandment was to keep God number one, to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. He's got to be number one in our life. That's the first commandment. The second commandment was about not making idols, not making God into our image or in the image of created things, but to worship God as he is, as he has revealed himself to be to us in Christ and this and in his word. Anything less is a false image. But today we look at the third commandment, which says that we're not to misuse the name of our Lord our God. This commandment is very important for us who teach or preach or just who talk a lot. To be careful what we say and how we speak or represent God, because little ears are listening. So we should be careful what we say. We should guard our speech, that we be careful of how we speak about God in a way that lines up with his word, that we be careful when we talk about Jesus Christ, his son, and all the things the Lord has done. For this commandment is really about how we handle the name of God in a reverent and holy way. For the name of God is above every other name. Do we honor it? Do we speak of the Lord with praise on our lips, with respect, with a heart that loves him and worships him? Or do we speak about the Lord in ignorance or slander or just in a common way that disrespects or misrepresents who he is? We are to not misuse the wonderful and beautiful name of God. This is why I wanted us to read Psalm 96 as well, because Psalm 96 is how we positively are to say his name. Whereas the third commandment is about how not to misuse his name, Psalm 96 is about speaking his name, but in the way that it was meant to come from our lips, right? It tells us to praise the name of the Lord. It says in Psalm 96 to declare his goodness and his majesty. It says sing his name out loud. It says exalt his name, proclaim his name to the nations, it says. Declare all that he's done for you, worship, rejoice. And then it says three times, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. I was thinking about this week. God gave us these mouths, right, for a reason. With our mouth, we're able to eat, a good thing, to kiss, a wonderful thing, to talk with each other and relate, and then greatest of all, to declare the glory and wonders of our God. He gave us a mouth to do that. What greater thing can we talk about than God? What higher conversation can we have with a friend? What greater knowledge or wisdom can we pass on to our kids or our neighbor than the things of God, right? Why come to this sanctuary every week to church, but to gather with one voice now among many, singing praise to God for his love and because we trust him and with our lives. What a beautiful sound that is to God when God's people, when his children sing praise to the Lord. What greater ministry can any of us in our life have than to witness to a friend or a stranger even about what the Lord has done for us? This is the highest calling of our mouths, to declare the goodness of the Lord. So the third commandment isn't to never say his name. We must say his name, but just not misuse his name, not misrepresent his name, but to honor it, to love it, to adore him. I love how the book of James puts it in the New Testament. In James 3:9, it says, with our tongues, we praise our Lord and our Father, and we curse others who have been made in his image. Out of the same mouth come both praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Oh, they shouldn't, right? I mean, that's the whole point of that verse, that our mouths were given to praise and to glorify his name and to encourage one another, not to be used as a curse to another. This also reminds me, though, of something that Jesus said. You know, he said that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus always had a way of turning each one of these commandments into a heart issue, that it wasn't just some religious, legalistic thing, a shallow thing on the surface, but an inward truth. You know, people can pretend for a while with their mouths. They can try real hard to say the right words, but do they mean them? For a little while, we might be able to get away with false words, but when the curses start to flow, when out of the trials or the sufferings or the temptations, our hearts are really exposed, and what comes out of our mouth is what is really in our heart, right? And it's not always pretty, we know. We all need the Lord to not just control our tongue, but to change our heart, because out of the heart, the mouth can speak. And so this third commandment, like all of the commands, really comes down to a heart issue. Not just avoid particular words, but love the Lord with all of your heart and think upon him and each day, and pour the word of God into your heart every day, because out of the heart, the mouth will speak. And it is to speak praise to his name and real wisdom about who he is, not curses or misrepresenting. I was very fortunate, and I'm very thankful to have grown up in a Christian home where I learned the name of Jesus from a very young age. I think the first song I ever learned to sing was "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know." My parents taught me about Jesus, and I learned about God, and I learned about the stories of the Bible and all the miracles that God had done, and how God loves me, and how Jesus died for my sins and rose again. I grew up hearing the name of Jesus in a beautiful way and loving Jesus. We went to church to worship Jesus, to learn more about Jesus. My parents both loved Jesus and taught us to. I remember as we prayed as a family, and we did that at least once a day, I know, at dinner. I remember that, but I also remember before bed praying, and other times both privately and with the family praying. And we as a family, we always ended our prayers with, "In Jesus' name, amen." Because that is how the Bible taught us to pray, that we come to the Father and ask of him what we need, and we do so in his name. Because in him we have all that we need, and he provides all that we need. There is power in his name. And only because of him and the cross are we even able to approach a holy God. for he alone cleansed me of all my sins. So I learned, I guess what I'm trying to say is, from a very young age, I learned the beauty and the power of Jesus' name and how there's no other name higher than his. And all who call on his name are saved. So for me, the name Jesus was such a precious name, bringing good thoughts and images to my mind. Maybe that's why the devil tries so hard to tear down his name today in our world, to slander his holy name, to make it just a common curse word in our world today. Because as I grew up, and we all can see this in our own lives too, but we began to hear other people use our Lord's name, and not with affection or reverence or praise, but as profanity. At school and in the playground or at a friend's house or on a movie, you know, I began to hear those names in ways that weren't holy. Oh my God is a phrase that many use without ever thinking about it, just as a common expression of shock or alarm, oh my God, or a texting, OMG, never thinking about what they're saying. It's just a phrase. Or Jesus Christ, a name that many use today when they're mad, you know, or frustrated. They throw his name around as a common expression of frustration or anger. Jesus Christ. Or God, and then the word damn. That word, you know, damn means to curse. But that phrase, GD, is used at many different times in our world in conversation. And it's so bad. I tried to watch Stranger Things a week or so ago. I had heard a lot about it and loved the connection to the 1980s because that's when I grew up. But I had to turn it off after only the second episodes because I could not handle the repeated use of God and then damn by the characters over and over again. Just thrown into the dialogue for no reason, just over and over again. This is part of what the third commandment is saying is unholy and forbidden by God. It's using his name in vain as a curse, and it is a sin. OMG, Jesus Christ, all of it, it's taking his name in vain. And we can just say, well, it's just a common expression. I grew up with it. Dad always used to say it or whatever. I don't mean anything by it. It's just how people talk today. But that doesn't make it right or not a sin. It is a sin. The third commandment is directly against using God's name in this way. Whether the name God or the name Jesus, we're to use it with honor and holiness. Holy means to be set apart. His name is to be respected. It's to be used carefully. It's to be used in the way of Psalm 96 says, as a praise on our lips, not as a curse word, not as a common expression, but a name that is high and lifted up, not brought low. But again, and I go back to this, we speak of the Lord out of what is in our heart, right? Right, our language is just the symptom of a deeper heart issue. You see, the language of the world is not going to change until their heart does. A world doesn't know the Lord like we do. That is why they can just throw his name around and trample it underfoot and not think anything about it. But because I love the Lord and know him, and he lives in me, and is my salvation, and he died for me, gave his life and his blood for me, and saved me from death, and prepares a place for me in heaven, and loves me even after everything that I have done. I am in his grace every day. His mercy's new for me every morning. His faithfulness to me has been over the years and the decades. Who is greater than my God? Who is more wonderful than Jesus Christ? None. All I have is because of him, and he guides my life every day. Without him, I would be lost. He is my king and my Lord and my God. His comfort of me in times of great loss, and he's held me in his arms in times of great suffering. He's my strength. The Lord is my everything because I know him. because I love him in here, I want to honor him with my words, you see. I want to praise his name. I want people to think good of him. I want to see him high and lifted up. I want to tell him every day, thank you. I want to call on his name. I want others to know him and his goodness and his glory. I want to speak of him affectionately and tell of the wondrous things that he has done so that someone else might call on his name too and be saved. And one day, his name would be a praise on their lips and not just a curse word. You see, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. The words follow the heart. We don't just need to clean up our language. We need a better vision of the glory and the love and the wonder and the grace of our God in here. We need more of him in here, and our language will follow. You see, we can't obey the commandments of God without God. Without the Lord in me, I got no hope of change. Even just my stupid way I talk or my words, I can't change even that by my own will. I need him to create in me a new heart and to remake me from the inside. And then everything, including my words, will follow. And that is why I guess I can have some grace with this world. Not acceptance of sin, but grace. Because until they know him like I know him, they won't and can't just clean up their language. But Exodus 20, verse 7 says, he will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. We are to honor the Lord with our mouths. Can I tell you, when I write my sermons or a report or a letter, and I always capitalize God in Jesus, and even the H in him or he, as I'm typing it or whatever, it's maybe just a little thing, but I've just always done that because he is not like anyone else. He is at the very top. He is over all. He is the head. He's the Lord of lords. He's the King of all kings, the one true God, the creator, sustainer, and the ruler of my life. I don't say the word God unless I'm speaking about him. I don't use it as an expression. I don't type OMG. I find some other way to say wow. Because he's more than an expression, you see. He is God. And his name is not to be used in vain. And I'm not saying this to try to draw attention to myself or what I do. I'm just trying to explain how I try to honor God's name in my life. And in praise and love and honor, respect and affection. Psalm 8:1 says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are saved. When Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, he said, when you pray, pray our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means holy is your name. High and lifted up. And so I want my life, my language, to reflect that truth. Jesus prayed in John 17, Father, I've revealed your name to my disciples. Now protect them by the power of your name. Jesus is saying, I've revealed the truth of who you are to them, the name upon which could save them. Now protect them out in this world from the diminishing of that name, from the false representation of that name. We are to honor the name of God, to not misuse his name. That's the third commandment. Two more thoughts about this command to not misuse his name. One is this. His name means his character. It's not just a word. It means who he is. You see, a person's name is important, isn't it? I can't just go out and talk about certain people and throw their name around in conversations out there without making sure I'm representing them correctly, right? A person's name is their reputation, their will. Other people are going to look upon them now in a certain way based upon maybe what I say about them. And so people do a lot to protect their reputation and their name. It's how people think about you and see you. And in this world today, right, reputations can be diminished in a second. I mean, words can spread fast. People begin to shape a view of someone based on what someone else has said, for right or for wrong even. And so how many of us, even maybe in our own lives, have been hurt by what others have said about us, how they've misrepresented us and affected how else somebody else saw us, right? Words have power. I thought about that this week, even with it being Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And Martin Luther King Jr., he did a lot of amazing things. But many people don't know that he was also a Baptist pastor, number one. I've read a lot about him. He wasn't perfect, but boy, he loved Jesus. He believed in the scripture. He tried to follow it, and he preached it. Today, his name and face are used everywhere for a whole lot of things. Whatever the justice issue or civil rights issue is, people always are saying, well, if Martin Luther King Jr. were around today, this is what he would be for. They're attaching his name to their cause. But I just wonder if he really would be for that or not. Or are people taking liberty with his name and just wanting to use it to support their cause or belief? Well, we can do the same thing, you see, with God, with Jesus. Lots of people speaking about him and what they think God is like or what he would say or do. And we can easily say, well, I think God is like this, and then believe that he is. But maybe we should first stop and think about his word and what and where is it written? And are we representing him correctly? Are we thinking about him right? What does the Bible say? Am I speaking truth about God right now, or just my opinion about him? We can teach things about God that are not God. We can talk in a Bible study or with a friend and shape a whole nother person's view about him that maybe isn't correct. This too, you see, is misusing his name, misrepresenting who he is, speaking falsely about him. To misuse the name of God is to speak about God representing him in a false way. To say God is like this when he's not like that, or to say God wants that when he doesn't want that. It's to misrepresent with our words, to throw his name around for our own benefit. And this can be out of ignorance, or it can be intentional. One example from scripture that I think shows this well, misrepresenting God and his name, is the serpent in the garden. In Genesis 3, the snake comes to Eve and speaks about God, but in a false way, and reshapes the way that Eve thinks of God. This is the greatest blasphemy, when we reshape the way others think of God, from praising his name to putting him down. For the serpent said to Eve, did God really say you can't eat of the tree in the middle of the garden? And when Eve answers, yes, he did, eat of it and we will die, the devil directly goes against God's word and lies to her and says, you certainly won't die. And then the devil speaks about God in a blasphemous way, in a way where he's now trying to shape the view of God and his intention as being evil and not good. For he says, for God just knows when you eat of this, your eyes will be opened and you'll become like him. You see, the devil subtly changes the way Eve thinks about who God is and his intentions. He doesn't speak about God in a holy way, in a pure and a good and a right way like he is, but he begins to cast a little doubt upon the name of God, as if God had some evil purpose in this that was against us and not for us. He speaks of God in a degrading and a demeaning way that causes Eve to look away from God, or do something directly against what he said. And there are a lot of people out there in our world or online, and they speak about God or Jesus or his word, and speak, in some of them, in ignorance, while others for their own selfish agendas. Others even out of hatred for God, almost demonic. But they do not represent him or speak truthfully about him or in line with who he is and his word. And this breaks the third commandment. The third commandment is not just using the name of God as a swear word, but it's also speaking about God in a false way, misrepresenting who he is and shaping others' views of him in an incorrectly way. And this is why God, you see, is so serious about his name and how it is used and by whom, for how we speak of him affects how others see him. I don't know if you've ever heard the story of Alfred Nobel, the one that we know from the Nobel Peace Prize. Well, Alfred Nobel was a chemist, and he was an engineer, and he actually was the inventor of dynamite. Now, he supposedly invented dynamite for a good reason, for mining and infrastructure, but it was turned for a deadly purpose, used by powerful people in war. And so much so used for that, that people started to refer to Alfred Nobel as the Merchant of Death. This is how he became known. His name was being attached with something that he in no way wanted. He was so depressed over this that he eventually did something about it. He used his fortune to establish the Nobel Peace Prize. I think about this. Sometimes I cringe, and I'm sure you do too, when we see the name of Jesus used out there for things that are so un-Christ-like. People doing a whole lot of hateful and sinful things in his name. I think of the Crusades. The war started in his name for something that he is in no way behind. I think of the condoning of slavery in his name. I think of the cross on the robes of the KKK, or the anti-Semitism that has come from so-called believers misrepresenting him, or the phony preachers on TV that speak about the Lord like he is someone who will give you anything that you want. You just got to send in this money and he's going to give you that new car or that healing or that promotion. This is all blasphemy. I think of the witch hunts of old, and how the Puritans killed over 50,000 people in his name, thinking they were doing God's will. Horrible. Not everyone who speaks about God knows God. This is breaking the third commandment, and it's so damaging to the witness that we are to be for him out in this world. We're to be careful what we say and how we represent him. And I don't want to just point the finger. I know as a preacher of the gospel and as a pastor that I don't always get it right. I look back at some of the sermons I gave early on in my life and I don't always get it right. I don't always act like I should. I don't always talk and teach correctly. I'm still learning. You know, I fear sometimes though that people will hear something from me or see something in my life on my bad days and say, if that's what Jesus is like, I don't want to have anything to do with him. Oh, that would crush me. I pray all the time people don't get a false view of the Lord that I love from me. I know I'm not perfect, so I pray how I'm teaching my kids about him and how I'm trying to be an example and share my faith and to speak about him, that it would be by his Spirit, from his word. We all got to stay humble. We aren't to be so full of fear that we never say his name. No, that's not right either. But we just got to keep our heart in him and seek him. And he'll give us the right words that are a good reflection of who he is. But the last thing I wanted to say of how we can better obey this third commandment is to do more of Psalm 96. This command is not just about, you know, what we shouldn't do. It's really also about what we should. How we should speak about God. Instead of just being careful not to say certain words, we must be intentional about adding to our speech the name of Jesus in a way that is praise. As intentionally, in a right way, using his name every day. So don't just go down the path of stop saying his name, misusing it. Start going down the path of using his name now more, but in the right way. I have found this truth in my life. When I focus so much on the sin, I keep sinning. But when I focus on Jesus and his purposes and will and love, I don't. It just doesn't come on my mind, you see. I'm learning the Christian life is not just about not doing certain things. It's about following Jesus every day and running after him and abiding in him and keeping him in the focus of my day, thinking more about him and less about me and how to serve and love and honor him. And when I keep Jesus in focus and I pursue him, I just sin less. Right? It's the outcome. It's the cause and effect. You see, he leads me and he helps me by his Spirit, give me a whole new vision and a whole new reason and a whole new purpose to live for. He puts a new song in my mouth. So this is also true, you see, with the third commandment. It's not just about what we aren't to say, but what we are to say. We're to love the Lord so much that we can't help but speak about Jesus to our families. We're to say his name in love and praise. We're to use our mouth as God created it to magnify the name of the Lord and to glorify who is over all creation, to exalt his name forever, to praise his name, to call upon his name, to declare his glory in the streets and his goodness to everyone we meet, to ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. These words from Psalm 96 are all to-dos, not just to-don'ts. I'm learning that every one of these Ten Commandments at the heart level is not just a rule about what not to do, but now how in Christ turns into a greater thing of what we are to do. We aren't to misuse the name of the Lord, but in Christ we're now filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and we're sent out to be his witnesses, to declare with our mouth the truth of who he is to the world, to proclaim his name to the next generation and the grace upon which he has had with us. We who know him and have him living inside of us and have a relationship with him, we've seen all the good things he's done into our life. Speak it. Speak it. Don't let the devil silence your witness, your praise. God has given you a mouth. Use it for good. Try doing that this week. Maybe even when you're alone. If you see beauty in the creation that declares his glory, say it out loud, even if you're by yourself. Just look around. No one can hear me. Okay. Praise the Lord. Look at the beauty of this sunrise. Thank you, God, for all that you've given me in my life. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Open the valve and let the praise out. It's been too long. The enemy has silenced you. You are loved, forgiven, and redeemed. Shout it. Let Christ, who is in your heart, come out in praise from your mouth. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Let it speak. If you're with your family, share one thing you love about Jesus. Or read a Bible verse together and speak about what it says and what God has done for you lately. At work or out with friends, don't silence your faith. You don't have to be preachy. But just learn how to speak about the Lord, even if other people roll their eyes. May we not stop using the Lord's name in our language and in our way, in our world. We stop using his name, though, in vain as a curse and start using it in praise and glory. The more you let the Lord into your life and into your heart, the more your mouth will speak. So take Psalm 96 and put it into practice. Hope you have a wonderful Sunday. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.